What brings out your inner child?
Smarties!
Why do you need to shout? I ask you now, as you're watching this sober at home on the internet, why do you need to shout?
Sorry, I don't know.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, November 9th. I'm G.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, we got Tass Mellis.
What's up, everybody?
What's up, Tass? Got my Top Shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-yo! Hey, the international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
Last but not least, making the magic happen, super producer, JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team for joining us live right now on YouTube. Let's all take a second and hit that like button. Make sure you're subscribed to No Dunks on YouTube. Comment away. Share the show. Get your No Dunks merch over at NoDunks.com. Get yourself an athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/NoDunks. And what else? Follow us on social media channels? Sure. At No Dunks Inc. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. What else?
No Buffs. Subscribe to No Buffs on YouTube. Why not?
Yeah, there you go. No Buffs, our Survivor podcast. If you want to check that out, it's got its own YouTube feed, own podcast feed, and all that. All right. Oh, my goodness. Whew. NBA. Just action-packed, man. We got the games we will get to. Curry dropping 50. Jokic turning into a temper boy. And whether or not he'll get suspended for all that. Other games that were really entertaining last night. But let's start with a big trade rumor, Tass. According to Shams, the Boston Celtics have engaged in Ben Simmons conversations with the 76ers. Now, let's not get too excited. Shams says talks have been fluid with no traction as of yet. Word is, though, that any potential Simmons deal with the Celtics would have to include Jaylen Brown, who unfortunately right now is going to miss 1 or 2 weeks of action here with a right hamstring strain. The question, though, Tass, let's get into the trade rumor. Is Jaylen Brown too high a price for Ben Simmons? Would the Celtics include him in any deal for Ben Simmons? What do you think?
No, they would not. Jaylen Brown is a star, so I understand why, unlike you driving your car, there's no Chevy traction here, Skeets. It's not happening. He is too good offensively. He is just a star. He is growing into a two-way player. But I can see why the Celtics would want to shake up their own roster, because they've got Jaylen Brown, they've got Jason Tatum, two all-stars, but they're only 4-6. They need something, and I can understand why they would love Simmons on their roster, a point guard who doesn't need a shot. Marcus Smart was just saying, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown take all our shots. Ben Simmons would be great at that, but he would also be very, very helpful on the defensive end, because they've lacked oomph defensively. And I think people are diminishing how good Simmons is on the defensive end, because the 76ers have improved on offense without him, and everybody's saying, well, look, they've got the floor spaced out. They've got shooters around Joel Embiid. It's true. They've got the first best offense, best three-point percentage, mainly because they're all spread out and they're not just taking a few threes. They're taking more threes this year. But they have sacrificed something defensively. They've gone from 13th to 1st on offense from last year to this year, but from 2nd to 19th on defense. And that's a big reason why the Celtics are looking at Ben Simmons and thinking that would be juicy as a point of attack defender. We're lacking. If you watch them play, teams can just sort of stroll into the lane, but they're coming around defensively. So I think this is sort of a bad time for Simmons to see that Shams Charania rumor and say, whoa, maybe the Celtics will trade for me. But I think the Celtics are looking at their own roster and they're thinking, well, Marcus Smart, Josh Richardson, even Dennis Schroeder, the guards are starting to hound the other guards on the opposing team. They held the Magic to 79 points and then the Heat to 78 points in back-to-back games. And then they fought back from a 19-point deficit to nearly take out the Mavs before there was a huge brain fart by Marcus Smart taking that foul, and then Luka hit him in the eye. They're coming around, Skeets. I think that prediction that we made earlier this season that the Celtics would be better, I know they're only 4-6, but I think it's just taking them a little bit of time, and I don't think they would rock the boat and trade Jaylen Brown. No way, with the way that they are coming around. And I think if Jaylen Brown was traded for Ben Simmons, that would hit him right in the heart, because a few years back, there's this clip circulating. I had forgotten about it, but his teammate Grant Williams started his career missing his first 25 three-pointers, and Jaylen Brown told the media, yeah, we were calling Grant Williams Ben Simmons for a while. That's deep. I mean, you tell, like, that's a few years ago. Wow. That's a young Jaylen Brown. Everybody just sticks it to Ben Simmons for not being able to shoot a three-pointer. But it is a weird sort of mix that they've got going on in Boston, that they're only 4-6 with two All-Stars, with two two stars. But I think they're finding it. And Ben Simmons, I think, would really help defensively. And he would help the Philadelphia 76ers. I think the Sixers with Ben Simmons and him being, you know, the best version of himself, I think are a championship contender. But without him, even if they're playing with the best offense right now, I don't think they're a championship contender. I think he takes their defense to a level that they can't reach without him, although their offense is better. So I think people are forgetting how good a factor Ben Simmons could be on the right squad. And I think he would fit pretty well with those shooters on Boston.
Yeah, I don't think it's a surprise, Trey, that Daryl Morey would like Jaylen Brown coming back in a Ben Simmons deal. But again, the question is there any way the Celtics would include Jaylen Brown? Because by all reports, this is ludicrous. Chris Mannix saying no way. Mass Live's Brian Robb saying no way. Like, it's a non-starter that Jaylen Brown. Now, is there another deal in play? Do you have to get a third team involved? Yeah, okay. I'm sure the Celtics would want Simmons on their team, but to pair with Tatum and Brown, not to maybe include them. Do you agree with that?
100%. Simmons would be awesome on the Celtics if Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are both there. That's a wicked threesome, all about the same size, can do a lot of the same things, but I don't think the Celtics should give up Jaylen Brown. Both Jaylen and Ben Simmons, two-way players. They play offense and defense. That's what a two-way player means, if you didn't know. But there's a major hole in Ben Simmons' game, which hasn't improved. Meanwhile, Jaylen Brown gets better every single season. He hasn't made a leap really as a playmaker yet, but that's still to come sometime in his career. It just doesn't make sense to me. Jaylen Brown would fit perfect with the Sixers. I don't necessarily know that they solve all of their issues with regards to passing, but he would certainly be an improvement over having no Ben Simmons there. And like you're saying, Skeet, Simmons fits perfect with the Celtics, but it feels like they're just taking a step sideways by acquiring Simmons if they're trading away Jaylen Brown. Doesn't make sense to me unless there's somehow a third team involved here.
Okay, Lee, let's play this out. Daryl calls up Brad Stevens, who's calling the shots now there for Boston. It's not Danny Ainge. And he says, hey, Brad, congrats on the promotion. This is fantastic. Nice to have you part of the club here as a GM. You were a great coach. I think you're going to make a better GM. So, look, I've got Simmons here. I'm trying to get a trade happening. He's probably not going to play for us. Let's make something happen. You know, I know you as an organization, you're not afraid to trade like a star player to another team. You know, we've seen them do that before, even in their conference. Jaylen Brown for Ben Simmons. Let's do this. What do you say, Brad? Come on, let's go.
What do you say, Brad?
I say sold. Why not? Let's do it. No, of course not. The Celtics, there's no way they would do this deal at all, because Jaylen Brown defensively is a very, very good player. Maybe not quite at Ben Simmons' level, but he's not far off either. And then offensively, he's a different player than Ben Simmons, but he's a much better shooter and scorer of the ball. That's obviously the difference there. Ben Simmons more a playmaker, facilitator. But I just don't think that Celtics look at this and think this really improves them. It's like for like in a way that they get another good player in return, but they simply don't get the shooting and the floor spacing that Jaylen Brown gives them. I was looking into the Celtics roster because it feels like still they had all those draft picks from the Danny Ainge era, but he must have just like emptied the cupboard as he left the door there, because they don't have really any significant draft capital to give up here either that might entice Daryl Morey. They've given up, but you know, they gave up a first round pick to get Kemba Walker from the Thunder there, and now all they have is their own picks, so none of those are sort of super enticing. Remember, it felt like Danny Ainge had multiple first round picks for multiple drafts, but they don't really have that anymore, so they can't even sort of say, okay, you know, we'll give up extra picks down the line, so it's not going to happen there anyway. But look, if you're the Philadelphia 76ers and you know a player like Jaylen Brown is available, of course you make that move, but there's just not that many players of that caliber out there. I certainly don't see teams giving up a player of Jaylen Brown's quality to get someone like Ben Simmons, who's shown right now that, you know, who knows when he's going to be back playing anyway. That's the real question here for anything surrounding Ben Simmons. And one thing for Ben Simmons too, if he thinks it was tough playing in Philadelphia, you don't want to go to Boston and play there and have the crowd against you as well. That'd be an even tougher place, I think, than Philadelphia.
I think a lot of people pointing out with Jaylen Brown too, it's, you know, he is under team control for two more seasons at a very, very good deal, possibly below market deal with the, you know, what the sort of he's producing for the Celtics over these last couple of years, turning into an all-star, being still a 25 point per game scorer and all that. And like you guys said, doing it on both ends. So yeah, I don't see him being involved in any sort of Simmons deal, Sixers Celtics. But, you know, Lee, is there something, if Jaylen is off the table, is there anything that the Celtics could realistically offer in a deal to get Ben Simmons to join a Tatum and Brown? Do you have to get a third team involved? Have you worked the trade machine, Lee Ellis?
I've tried to, and that's the thing. You absolutely have to get a third team involved because the best player realistically that the Sixers would want would be Marcus Smart. And you're not just going to give up straight up one for one. That's what I was talking about, the draft picks that the Celtics don't have to say, all right, we'll give you Smart and then a Josh Richardson and then three first round picks. They just don't have that to give up anymore. And you're not going to take back Al Horford. His time there in Philadelphia was a disaster anyway. And of course, at this stage of his career, you know, he's at the end of his career. So after that, Schroeder, I don't even think he can be traded right now, maybe in the next month or so when, you know, because he's on a one-year deal there. Robert Williams, you know, sure, Grant Williams, those guys are nice, but there's just nothing there for Daryl Morey that he's like, okay, if I don't have Jaylen Brown, you can just throw some of these other players at me because there's just not enough there. I think, again, I sort of talked about it yesterday. If the Indiana Pacers have decided that Miles Turner is not a part of their future, then you can maybe get the wheels moving a little bit. But that's pure speculation on my behalf. I have no idea if the Pacers are willing to give up. It just feels, though, that like maybe the Pacers need to shake things up as well after a bit of a rough start for them.
Yeah, it is important to note when you're trying to come up with trades right now, like right this second, that a number of players around the league, they're not eligible to be traded until mid-December for free agents that signed in the offseason, or until mid-January, when many players who signed like veteran extensions, who I believe Marcus Smart being one of those. So, you know, even if he's involved in a deal to the Sixers or a three-team deal, this isn't happening until mid to late July or whatever the heck it is, Tass. But, you know, can you come up with something? Is there anything, a third team especially? Is it the Pacers? Is it another squad where, okay, you could see Celtics sending a package of players and their own picks maybe to that team to then get Simmons to them and, of course, Jaylen Brown going to Philadelphia? Is there anything that you could work or figure out?
Well, I think you need two parts to make this work. You need a team that's willing to take a risk, that team unlike the Boston Celtics, who are playing a little bit better, a team that's just struggling just a little bit and are willing to say, yeah, Ben Simmons, why not? And the second thing is, I think Philly has to get, if it's a three team and Jaylen Brown comes around, or some sort of on the ball defender that like Ben Simmons would, you know, sort of replicate. Like the Malcolm Brogdon thing from Indiana made sense, although he signed an extension, so he's off the table. I think what you threw out there with the Kings there on Twitter, Skeets, it got people riled up, but it fits the bill. Kings willing to take a risk. The things aren't flying all that well. They've got replacements over there with Tyrese Haliburton and Davion Mitchell. So maybe De'Aaron Fox gets out of there. I don't think that's happening. But there just isn't a really good one out there. So that's why I bring it up. Is there a better one than that where the Kings and the Celtics find a way to you know, trade those best pieces? The Sixers, they're not going to end up with Jaylen Brown. They're going to end up with something not as good. And I know Marcus Smart is obviously not the player Jaylen Brown is, but at this point, it's not a horrible consolation package. It's not terrible. I know it's not ideal, but he kind of fits the bill of an on-ball defender who can handle the ball. It's tough sledding right now if you're Daryl Morey. It's just the value obviously could not be lower. But don't the Kings make a little bit of logical sense there?
Well, I'll throw it out for those that didn't catch my tweet last night that did riled up the Sacramento Kings fans. Fair enough. The third team that I was like searching for, maybe it's Sacramento, who will be 15 games below 500, because they always are, come January, when you could trade Marcus Smart. and there's some sort of smart Robert Williams, maybe Neesmith, like a young talented Celtics picks would be included, to then have Fox go to the Sixers and Simmons go to the Celtics. That would be the third team involved. I get it, Trey. It's not that exciting if I'm a Kings fan. Like, I read that tweet and I go, fuck off. Like, I love De'Aaron Fox. Everybody knows that watches this show. I love De'Aaron Fox probably more than anyone, and I know he's even struggling right now. My point is, you know, if the pick capital was better, and that goes back to what you were saying, Lee, I could see it. I could see maybe it happening. But with what they could offer right now in terms of picks, and then these players that I just mentioned, it's not all that exciting. I get it from the King side of things. Why would we get involved in this? But Trey, do you have any thoughts? Or maybe a better one even.
No, I definitely don't have any better ones, Skeets, because once it goes to a three-team trade, I refuse to operate the trade machine at that point, because it's hard enough to get a three-team trade done in the NBA to actually get three people to agree. It's not just one creep sitting alone in the basement trying to figure out trades here. So I don't know. If you're the Kings, maybe you can talk yourself into it because you've got a ton of point guards right now, having drafted Halliburton and Mitchell in the past couple of drafts. You bring in Ben Simmons, another theoretical point guard, but at least he's taller, so I guess that makes some sense. But the problem with the Celtics is they have two difference makers, and that's what Daryl Morey has said. They've got Jason Tatum and they got Jaylen Brown. It doesn't feel like they're going to trade one of those straight up to the Sixers, so then you got to start looking at these three-teamers. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, sure, De'Aaron Fox going to the Sixers would be awesome for the Sixers, but I don't know. The Kings just signed him to an extension, and now they want to move on already? I mean, maybe so, but I don't think Simmons is that big of an upgrade over De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, it's very, very difficult to find one that makes a lot of sense. But maybe if the Sixers continue to keep winning here, Lee, you know, Morey just buys himself some more time. You're not felt as rushed. Now, he said he could do all 4 years of this, you know, stand still here with Ben Simmons. I don't believe that. I don't think anybody does. But, you know, if they're at the top of the Eastern Conference, you don't really need to panic and say, God, we got to get some players in here, even though Ben Simmons is not playing. Though, they're short on guys. So let's just sort of spin to that and then last night's game against the Knicks, because we learned that Joel Embiid has returned a positive test for COVID-19. This happened on Monday morning. He was already expected to sit out last night's game, but now he's going to miss probably 10 days per the NBA's health and safety protocols. That would mean Embiid's going to miss at least 5 games, potentially returns at some point late next week. But they are just getting ravaged right now, the Sixers are, with guys entering the league's protocols so far this season. Tobias Harris, Matisse Thybulle, Embiid now, Isaiah Joe, also in the mix here. Where did you come from, Isaiah Joe? I don't know what even this Embiid news has on all of this trade talk, Trey. I don't know if it ramps it up more, if there's still no rush. Any thoughts on that?
Well, that's why I thought Embiid was under a ton of pressure this year, because anytime he misses games, there's not that next player to step in and be the number one guy, especially in the situation the Sixers find themselves in now, where Simmons is out and Tobias Harris is also missing time as well. You saw last night against the Knicks, they looked shorthanded, waiting for Seth Curry to make plays off the dribble. Tyrese Maxey, they've both been pretty solid to start the season, but when they're thrust into the number one role, that's a big lift for players who are generally support players in the starting lineup. But the good thing about last night, no Joel Embiid, meant Andre Drummond got some serious run there, Skeetsy. JD, roll that beautiful beef footage.
Andre Drummond had 25 rebounds. Welcome back, you big, beautiful beefer. That's a lot of roast beef, which is rebounds.
Oh yeah, 10 months between beefs for Andre Drummond. He was our original beefer along with Domantas Sabonis. Ooh. 25 rebounds, most rebounds in a game thus far this season. Also the first time that the Sixers have had 25 or more rebounds in a game since 1987, when the round mound of beef himself, Charles Barkley, put up 25 in a loss to the Bulls, where Michael Jordan had 56. If we had a show 34 years ago, I think we would have led with that one. A 25-board game and a 56-point game. As for the rest of this, Obviously, no Embiid, no Harris, no Simmons, all the other guys you mentioned, Skeets, even Isaiah Joe. And the Knicks handled their business. They had a big lead in the first half. Sixers did a good job to make it close in the second half. They got it to within 1 point a couple of times in the third and fourth quarter. But then with 5 minutes left, it was a five-point Knicks lead, and Julius Randle checked back in, and he put the team on his back. Scored 10 points on 4 or 5 shooting down the stretch. Had 8 straight at one point. Had George saying, "Nyang it," the way he was taking him to the hole off the dribble there. Popped a 3 in his face as well. Then they tried Danny Green, too small, 3 in his face. And then Tyrese Maxey got switched on to Julius Randle, so he took him down, grabbed the big offensive rebound, put it back in. That was really the backbreaker. He finished with 31-12. It was the full bing bong and a big Knicks bing bong.
Yeah, I mean, I thought this was going to be like a 30-point blowout task because they were up huge, like Trey said, I think up 19 in the first half. And Philly did go on a pretty damn impressive run in the third quarter. It kept me watching as we entered the final frame. Hell, didn't Niang gangbang a 3 there with like 5 minutes to go, and it was a 1-point game? And I was like, Jesus, this would be an incredible Sixers win and a brutal Knicks loss. But as Trey said, Randle took over there late. And when you can add the 3-point shot to what we know he can sort of do inside and from mid-range, then he's a really, really dangerous player, I think.
This is a wild Sixers team that they were able to fight. Short on bodies, they're missing their top 3 players in Tobias Harris, Joel Embiid, and Ben Simmons. And they still are able to go deep on that roster and figure out a way. Doc Rivers is doing it. He is a Coach of the Year candidate, no doubt. The Niang gang fighting through. Isaiah Joe not playing in this one, unfortunately. They just got great names on this roster. It goes pretty deep. You mentioned the Cotton Eye Joe. That's, I don't know why they haven't run with that. The fact that he comes in and they ask him if he's broken protocol, they should just sing, "Oh, where did you come from? Where did you go? I want to know, Cotton Eye Joe. I mean, I want to know, Isaiah Joe. Where have you been?" And so everybody, it ravaged them this year, ravaged them last year. If you remember, Seth Curry went through it. A lot of guys have gone through it. The fact that they keep winning games, they're fighting. This was a game that the Knicks won, and it wasn't a game that the Sixers lost. The Sixers are just fighting. But tough part is the schedule is so tough that they're going up against now, especially with Joel Embiid out. So, yeah, they've started the season off incredibly well. But now, after this 8-3 start is where things will get very real. But Doc Rivers, much respect to him and the way he's got them fighting.
Yeah, Lee, anything from this game last night?
The New York Knicks just look happier playing on the road right now this season. They're 5-1, they're 2-3 at home, and Julius Randle, even though his actual scoring is higher in Madison Square Garden, on the road he just shoots better, and I think he passes better. I think there's the pressure of now playing in Madison Square Garden. The fans are expecting something. I mean, it's completely unscientific at this point, but I am monitoring it through the season because they've lost a couple of stinkers at home, and I think that does affect them. They just look looser on the road. So I'll keep track this as the season goes on, and if it works in my favor, I'll keep reminding people. If it doesn't, I'll completely ignore it. But 5-1 on the road right now for the Knicks, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, unfortunately for Knicks fans, Nerlens Noel had to leave this one with a knee injury. I think it was Danny Green falling into him there, buckling his knee, and this guy just can't catch a break, Nerlens Noel. I mean, he missed all of preseason, missed a good start of this season. I think he missed his first 7 games, finally got back, you know, he's getting into the rotation, finding some minutes again, because he played really well for them last year on a surprising Knicks team. And here he goes down again, Lee, which sucks. I don't know how severe it is. Didn't look good. Never when a guy crashes into like a 7-footer's knee and it sort of goes backwards a little bit. But I guess we'll see here with Nerlens Noel. Just sucks.
Yeah, it does. I mean, this is a guy, of course, who has bounced around a fair bit in his young career, and the Knicks re-signed him. And you know, if Tom Thibodeau re-signed you, he loves you, and you're probably with Thibs for life. So he's going to get a role out there, but he's perfect in a backup role as a center. He can contest shots, he can rebounds. He's not a starting center, I don't think, in the NBA, but someone who can come out there and really give them good support. So hopefully it's not too serious. I guess we'll just have to wait and see in the next few days.
If you're watching this game, it got super loud in terms of Knicks fans in Philadelphia. Yeah. They were there. They were rampant. So how does that factor into the scientific equation, Lee, where they've got Knicks fans everywhere, as Evelyn points out in the team stream. There are a lot of bing-bongers in the Wells Fargo. Yeah. I thought they were louder than Sixers fans.
Yeah, I mean, that's where the science comes into play here, Tassie. I'll have to evaluate all those aspects. But honestly, for me, it was purely a visual thing of looking at Julius Randle, just like more comfortable. That's that he just looks like. Because we all know that in Madison Square Garden, when the expectations are low, it's kind of like, well, we don't expect our team to do well. You start off the season with that banger they had against the Boston Celtics. I mean, the Knicks are back, remember? They had Cuomo. They had de Blasio. But now they've got the Knicks, and they're back. So
the curse of the Bing Bong, it could be.
Listen, I can't believe that it doesn't have an impact on you when you're playing in Madison Square. The fans expect every night to come away with a victory. And, you know, they lost to the Magic, and they lost to another team they should have beaten. I can't remember who it was.
Pacers? That was on the road.
Just recently. Anyway, we'll see. 5-1 on the road.
The Raptors?
Cavs and Raptors.
The Cavs was the one, yeah. So, anyway.
Okay. With Andre Drummond, I'm sure you saw this, Trey, but I just wanted to share it with everybody here joining us live and listening later. 85th big beef for Andre Drummond in his career.
Is that true?
That's what they said.
What?
And it caught me by surprise.
85?
That's what they said.
That's impossible.
I'm just saying, I heard that. And I was like, my jaw hit the floor. I was like, what? I mean, he might.
Let me consult the Kirby Sports Bureau here for a minute, Skeets. You tap dance for a second now.
Yeah,
there's 85.
I swear to God, they said this on the broadcast. Maybe 80 I misheard it.
Yeah, I mean, and look, he was in Detroit in a city that, you know, on a team that wasn't really making the headlines, so he could have done it, you know? I mean.
Come on. Who's going to clarify? Trey's counting them up, or we got the stream team doing their work.
You know, this is his 10th
season.
This is
crazy. This is crazy. It's 85.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
This guy's a big, beautiful beefer.
He should get a crown. He should get to wear a crown around.
I remember last year we started tracking these things. I was like, this guy is clearly going to be the beef king. He was running away with it. He had 3 in a month, and then basically the Cavs shut him down, shipped him to Los Angeles. No beefs. But the beef is back. That's incredible to me. So, I don't know. I mean, maybe Embiid is the guy they should trade. Let the beef run wild here.
I want to say it was Kate Scott dropping that stat.
That's incredible.
So that is amazing.
I'm going through year by year. First year didn't have one, but second year came out, beefed it up 7 times. That's a huge number. Right. And then his third year, what a year that was. We're talking double decker beefs. We're talking double digit beefs. 1, 2, 3, 4,
wow,
5, 6.
Double patties.
That's like 11 beefs. So, yeah, 85. That makes sense. You need about 10 a year. He had 11, I think, his second year. The third
crazy.
Year. Wow.
Crazy. All right. Well, let's get to more beef in a second here. We're going to take our first break. We'll get into the Jokic Morris fracas and whether or not suspensions will be handed out by the league. We'll talk about Steph Curry and his 50-point performance. A lot of other entertaining games as well we'll get to. But a quick break to pay the bills. What do we got?
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Hey guys, whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. No sound effects, I don't have them loaded up, and I got too much going on over here. Good news guys, I finally got the notification from Shopify that the pickleball paddle I've had my eye on is back in stock.
Yes.
I have not purchased it yet. Oh. Why? Because I stink at pickleball! Got my ass handed to me yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, my God. So bad. Anyway, Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling scented soap or peddling pickleball paddles, how's that for alliteration?
Nice one.
Thank you. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen's, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. By the way, did you know Shopify is Canadian?
No,
I did not know that.
I did not know that.
Headquarters in Ottawa.
Wow.
Homer. Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/nodunks.
Okay, back with No Dunks here. Let's do a little games recap by way of true or false. Okay, I'm convinced this music for our true or false intro is also used in How Does This Get Made? Ever seen that show, Lily and JD?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it, and I just actually, when you mentioned that this morning, I went and listened to it, and it's similar, but I don't think it's the same. Hold on. Well, there's probably, 18 seasons of it, so they may have actually, I think I was listening to season 12 version.
Spoiler alert. Don't tell me what they're making.
Or how
rocking chairs. Just kidding. I don't know, but I can definitely hear the similarities. Okay. So
every time I see that on TV, I'm like, oh, that's the true or false music. Okay, it's not the exact same. Good to know. I can sleep at night now. So little games recap with some true or false questions. We'll ask these questions to everybody here in the stream team. Let's see your answers. To the guys here, everybody listening later, tweet at us at NoDunksInc. Leave them in the YouTube comments, wherever you want. First one, Curry scored 50 last night in a win over the Hawks. Golden State improved to 9-1. He also had 10 assists, his first ever 50-10 game task. So true or false? Just rip the Band-Aid off here and ask it. True or false, Steph Curry's going to win his third MVP.
Oh, I want to say yes after that. 50 points, 28 shots. He wasn't pushing it at all. He wasn't just trying to get up there. I mean, right when he got close there to 50, yeah, he was trying to get to 50, but I do want to say yes. I think he's gonna fall a little short. Who the heck knows, really? If the Warriors keep this up, he's got a good shot. But I think Steve Kerr has a better shot at coach of the year, because Steph, his numbers aren't as good as the MVP years, and I think that's gonna hurt him just a little. Other than the free throw percentage, where he's shooting 98% from the line. What? He's 50 of 51 from the line. Other than that number, the numbers are down a little bit, so I think that hurts. But the fact that they have jumped up as a team, yeah, you mentioned they're 9-1. They're 20th in offense last year, which was a disgrace with Steph Curry on that roster having a ridiculous year. But the reason why I think Steve Kerr should be a lead for Coach of the Year right now is because of everything he's done around Steph to make this team better. So I think voters will say, in both the MVP voting and the Coach of the Year voting, well, this team is that good. Why? Well, because Steph is raising the bar of this team, but also because Steve Kerr has turned all these guys into players. You know, Damian Lee over the years, watching Steph Curry run around and be incredible. He's turned Gary Payton II into a guy who's sort of on the periphery of a roster. Now he's dunking on people because he's playing like a center because he can't shoot. Yeah, let's just pick and roll him. Otto Porter, all these guys, Nemanja Bjelica, all these guys down the line. So I think Steve Kerr would probably get first in line before Steph would win MVP. But obviously, Steph is right up there. The question is now, 9-1, they've had a bit of a softy of a schedule. It's going to get a little tougher, and the wins won't come as easy. And I think teams are going to start hitting shots against them. But I mean, if you're beating teams like the Hawks, I think You know, the number one seed is the Jazz is to lose, I think, in the Western Conference. But the Warriors, I think they'll be able to play with them throughout the year. So, yeah, Steph's got a great shot, and he's got the narrative of who's their second-best player, you know, Draymond? Well, how are they doing it? Well, I think Steve Kerr's got a huge, huge reason to do with that.
BetMGM, as of this morning, Trey, has Curry as the favorite for MVP. Plus 275, then it's plus 550 for Durant and Giannis. And then it goes from there, like Luka and Embiid and Jokic and all that. So what do you think with this, true or false? Is he, can he do this? Is he going to win a third MVP?
I would say lock it in. At least through 10 games, he's sitting at the head of the MVP table. Steph Curry finished third in MVP voting last year, missed 9 games, got more first place votes than Joel Embiid did. And that was a season he led the league in scoring. He's second right now, like Tass is saying. He's knocking it down at the free throw line. Has actually had a kind of up and down season. He's had a couple of huge explosions, but a couple of games like in opening night when he said he played like trash despite having a triple-double. But, I mean, the Warriors look like the best team in the Western Conference through the first 3 weeks of the season. That's not a long time, but you got to win the games you play. So their schedule is soft, and Curry looks incredible. He looks like he's playing at least at an MVP level. We saw the respect he had last year in a down season for the Warriors. So if the team is actually this good or approaching this good, if they finish top two or three in the Western Conference, I think Curry is the easy choice.
Lee, true or false? Curry, third MVP.
True for now, yes. I think he's the clubhouse leader. Pretty far ahead, too. I don't think Durant and Giannis, especially considering the Bucks' record, are really that close, but it is only 10 games in. So the Bucks will be better. I'm sure they'll be better, especially once they get their guys back. And you just wonder if the Warriors can keep up this pace right now. I mean, 9-1, so you figure they're going to drop off at some point. But if Steph stays healthy and the Warriors win 55 to 60 games...
Yeah.
He's probably going to win it, I think. I mean, it's almost like the narrative is coming back. Like, you know, Steph, people sort of, I think, turned on him a little bit when they didn't win the championship. And now it's like, oh, actually, we do love this guy again. And if he puts on performances like he did last night, which was actually predicted by Candace Parker, by the way, she tweeted out before the game here, Steph is going to have 50 tonight. Anytime you play against the young protege, you've got to let him know. Incredible stuff from Candace Parker. And Trae Young was
I think he's averaging 39 points per game against Trae Young in matchups.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Trae Not Young bad. had a good 2.5 quarters there, but Steph really did put the foot down there and showed him the difference between a potential and a superstar. And Hawks continue to struggle right now. They got on a back-to-back. They go to Utah tonight. Oof, things are getting a little bit tough there for them. But when Steph's playing like this with that freedom and that fluidity, he's beautiful to watch. He's just I mean, he's so gorgeous to watch shoot the basketball.
So
and
gorgeous.
Oh, gorgeous. I mean, you know, 9 for 19
so
from downtown.
I think he
had the first 8 points of the game there, too, last night. He was just those uniforms look great. The court looked beautiful. It was a very nice, aesthetically pleasing game last night.
I have a question, especially for you, Lee Ellis, because you were on record having gone nuts before with people padding their stats, as you say. You've pointed it out with Russell Westbrook millions of times on this show. But no issues when a guy's just gunning for 50, which he absolutely was. And I'm
yes,
not saying whether it's right or wrong. I just want to get your take on a guy like Curry doing that last night. He's at 47. Game's pretty much in hand. He's still out there, and he's trying to get to 50.
Yeah.
No issues when...
Well,
he does that or somebody else does it?
It's not about whether or not you have an issue. It's whether or not he's pretending he's doing it or he's not. And he was not pretending that he wasn't doing it. He was going for it.
Okay.
Every player in the NBA pads their stats to some degree.
Right.
You know, because they want that extra rebound. They want that extra assist, that extra basket. They hold onto the ball until just after the shot clock goes off so they don't miss a three-pointer.
Sure.
So my point is everybody does it. Some a little bit more obvious than others. Russell Westbrook for one, but Steph Curry does it as well. Steph Curry also tries to embellish calls, you know, so he's not perfect. It's not like he's above criticism of any kind. He's tried to do that. And last night he tried to get 50 and he got it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would Russell Westbrook be happy with a guy going for 50 in a blowout? I mean, that's the real question here. So
that's a great point. Turn it on its head. I think what's funny though is entering last night's game, Curry had been in a bit of a slump for him. He had been held to 20 or fewer points in 4 consecutive games. For the first time since 2014, I read. So again, for Curry, he's in a slump. It didn't really matter because they were playing a lot of shitty teams and beating them, so their record's amazing. But then he popped off for 50, and suddenly he's back at the top of the MVP leaderboard or at the table ordering for everyone. And I tend to agree. I mean, when you're 9-1, I mean, that's pretty damn impressive. And he has amazing numbers too. I saw that Basketball Reference finally fired up their NBA MVP like tracker that we've talked about before. Curry is first right now with like a 37% chance to win MVP, followed by Jokic, Butler, Kevin Durant, and can you name the fifth guy?
DeRozan?
No, he's sixth, and I think he actually would be, if I was making my list of my five guys, I think I would have him at the table. No, it's one other guy that you...
Morant?
No, he's sort of in play, too. Good team, but this guy's not a scorer, so you always forget about
Rudy?
Him. Rudy? Rudy yeah. Gobert there yeah. with the big, like, what's he averaging? Like, you know, 15 and yeah. 16, I'm sure. What, is somebody getting a phone call right now, or... A text message?
Yeah, I'm getting dings.
Okay. Ding dong! I just want to make sure I'm not hearing
this
things.
This is not the daily ding test.
Pretty sure I heard a leaf blower about a half hour ago, too. But we don't even mention it now. It's just common. Okay. Our next one here, and this is off the Jokic and Markieff Morris fracas, as I said, which the Nuggets won, by the way, 113-96. The true or false question, and we're going to show you the play here, too, or the bumping and the pushing and the shoving and all that, is true or false. A suspension is coming for specifically Jokic, the reigning MVP, Lee. And I know JD's got the clip, so we can start talking about it while we watch it. But what did you think about the whole incident, and do you think he deserves a suspension for it?
I've got him down for at least one game, probably two, because it was a pretty severe reaction to a cheap foul. But it was a retaliation foul, and I think he probably gets some lenience from the league from that. It wasn't like he just did it for no reason. But the fact that Markieff Morris was down for a while and he was injured, I don't think he avoids getting a suspension at all. But the fact here is that he wasn't unprovoked. Morris knew what he was doing. This wasn't a take foul. A take foul stops the play. You know, the guy who is getting fouled can pretty much see it coming, and he knows that the guy's going to sort of, you know, obviously foul the guy without injuring him or trying to hurt him in any way. But it's not bodying a guy who was in his shooting motion. And that's what Morris did. He bodied him. And so, you know, he could have put his hand out and sort of wrapped up Jokic at that stage of the game, but he didn't do that. He clattered into him. But that also doesn't allow you a blank slate to just drill a guy from behind with the ferocity that Jokic did. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing here, that you know, Jokic retaliated to a dirty foul committed on him with another dirty foul on Morris, and, you know, from behind as well.
Right.
But Jokic's foul doesn't happen without Morris's first. But I will say as well, the Miami Heat, look, they're playing victim here. Nobody would speak to the media after the game except for Eric Spoelstra. And I think, you know, Jimmy Butler wanted to fight everyone last night. They didn't speak to the media because they knew they were going to get asked a question. Well, what did Morris do first? What, you know, did he deserve some sort of retaliation? And they just didn't want to have to face up to that. Eric Spoelstra, who I absolutely admire and respect, I think he's done incredible things for starting as a video editor, after the game said, oh, it was just a take foul. And he sort of tried to catch himself a little bit and say, with maybe a little bit more. But that's not a take foul. That is not a take foul at all. So my impression of it is that Morris deserved retaliation. But I think Jokic, you know, steaming into him from behind like that is probably going to get him, I think, two games. And again, Morris was down. He was off. But
yeah, look, his neck whiplashed. He stayed down for a while. They brought the stretcher out. Fortunately, they didn't have to carry him out on the stretcher. Now, I know some people are going to say he's acting bullshit. He's playing it up. Who knows? As for them not talking to the media after the game, Lee, I guess... You could look at it another way, as they were worried that the teams being around each other in the hallway, like you said, Jimmy barking at everyone, these two teams are hot. It's near the end of the game there, so it wasn't over much longer. They just wanted to keep them apart. I guess they had more cops out there in the hallway, so it was like sort of a decision to like, don't even have the chance of them crossing paths here, going back to the media room and stuff like that. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, it's possible.
They could have been ducking too.
It's possible, but you really have to face those questions because in my belief, no one wanted to have to answer that question from Miami. And again, I understand Eric Spoelstra going into bat for his guy saying, well, that was uncalled for, that was unnecessary. But again, it does not happen without Morris doing what he did first. So now the one.
So question, two wrongs don't make a right here, though, you're saying. I just
think the reaction from Jokic was, you know, very, very harsh, you know, to drill him from behind like that. And I don't think he avoids it. But he showed remorse and he had provocation behind him. So that's why I think he gets... two games.
Yeah, he did say after the game test, you know, he's talking about himself. It's a stupid play. I feel bad. This is what he said in talking to the media, because the Nuggets did. you know, they both got ejected. I didn't say that off the top there. Jokic is gone. Morris, they ultimately look at it. He's gone. Butler, I think, hit with a tech for, like, you know, again, like barking at everybody and wanting to fight everybody. But suspension for Jokic? You think you agree with Lee? Two games, one? Or is it sort of over now? And they won't suspend him.
Yeah, it looked bad, so he's going to get one. An unnecessary hit followed by a more unnecessary hit by Nikola Jokic. Number one, I'm not sure why Markieff Morris is bodying him like that. There's no need for that. And Jokic was in a bit of a vulnerable position having his arms up. He went straight at the ribs. He could have had a cracked Jokic rib right there. But Jokic, he turned it up. The retaliator is always the one who gets caught. And it's interesting, the refs talked about it afterwards. They said in a roundabout way that if Jokic didn't do what he did, then Morris wouldn't have got ejected. Because Jokic didn't get injured by any means. And I think the same goes for the Jokic hit. If Morris doesn't lie on the ground, I don't think Jokic even gets ejected, or he doesn't get a suspension, that's for sure. So it's all about the ramifications and him lying on the floor. And luckily for everybody, the Jokic brothers, as we know, Nikola Jokic's brothers, some tough dudes, they're sitting in the stands. They're always there supporting their bro. Luckily, Marcus Morris, bro of Markieff, and the Jokic bros weren't in the back scrapping themselves. This could have turned into a melee. And it's one of those things that it's hard to, if you take out the take fouls that we're all talking about as something that's kind of not fun to watch, just guys just taking intentional fouls. I think, Markieff Morris went over there literally to take a foul. And then, when Jokic put his arms up, he was in this vulnerable position and he threw a shoulder into those ribs, unnecessary, followed by another one. And Jokic, I'm sure, was hurt. Like I think it was like a guttural reaction. He just got hit in a spot where it did not feel good. So he came up and hammered Markieff Morris after that. So it's, maybe these things stop if we take out these intentional fouls out of the game, because that wouldn't have happened if, the penalty for the intentional fouls is different. If it's two in the ball, they start playing basketball again, because that's not basketball by any means. It's it's kind of crappy. A 17-point game there at the end. The Heat were also hot because they just got spanked. They got
blown
out. Well,
that's exactly, and we don't show you in the clip because it's a little too long, but yeah, take foul, whatever the hell Morris is doing. He's actually pissed off that Bam Adebayo at the rim appeared to maybe get hit by Jokic. There's no foul called. Bam goes down. He's like on the ground, like, you know, what the hell? And Morris, sticking up for his guy, sticking up, you know, goes and lays out Jokic with, again, I put in air quotes, a take foul, and then turns his back, Trey. And Jokic, who has proven to have a bit of a temper, he might be a temper boy, you know, levels him. And he hit him hard. Like, okay.
He smashed into him, man.
Yeah, but he hit him hard and he's not looking. I think it's different if he had spun Morris around because he's pissed off and went face-to-face with him and maybe pushed him, and maybe there is no suspensions coming. But, yeah, the hit from behind is a pretty dirty look, and he agreed. I mean, Jokic's words, dirty play. But what do you think? Is he getting a suspension?
Super cheap shot from Jokic and totally deserves a suspension in my book, because he is a repeat temper boy offender at this point, Skeets. Like you're saying, he was ejected from the Nuggets' loss to the Suns, I think it was game 4 last year, hitting Cameron Payne in the face. Also from behind. So that to me is the big differentiator there. Yeah, Morris went overboard with his foul too, but that is a take foul, which we see a lot. Morris gave him a shoulder because that's what Markieff Morris does. So Jokic retaliated. Morris didn't see it coming. And because of how hard Jokic hits him and the way he hits him, it looks really bad. Oh, so yeah. I think Jokic is going to get suspended for at least one game, maybe two. And I think it's totally deserved.
Do you think Morris, if Jokic gets a game suspension or two, like Lee says, is it fair that Morris also gets a game, Lee? Like, because you go back to what you said of, like, I mean, he does check him in the ribs.
Yeah.
He doesn't slap him and, like, or wrap him up. What do you think? Is that in play, or is it just going to be Jokic that ultimately gets the game or two?
It's in play because it is a dirty foul. And again, the guy who's in shooting motion when his arms are up like that, you are vulnerable, as Tass points out. You know, that's the worst time to sort of hit a guy in the ribs, and it did lead to something more. I think we agree that Jokic did perhaps overreact, but again, if a guy whacks you when the game's over like that, in the heat of the moment,
you know, you want to retaliate.
And 100%. I actually like himself sticking up for it. This is what he said, too. He's like, you can't come and body check me
and not expect nothing in return. Yeah.
Now, I just don't think he should have obviously pushed him from behind.
Right. But let's say
split
Morris,
second, he's pissed off. Yeah.
Yeah. And let's say Morris puts a hand out, turns around, says, sorry, that was, that was too much. I didn't mean to do that. But Morris walks off. You know, he doesn't show any remorse for what he just did.
No, no.
So I think that's, again, a part of it. Jokic may have been more sympathetic if he's like, okay, that was a cheap foul, but you sort of, you know, maybe you just got caught up in the moment. But Morris just walks off like, yeah, I hit him, I don't care. And so Jokic, I think, you had the fire in his eyes and responded. So I'm not sure if Morris gets a game. I mean, potentially he does because it was a bit of an ugly incident there. And I guess they want to eradicate those type of fouls immediately if they can from the game.
Mm-hmm. They don't play until Wednesday night, I think the Nuggets do. So we maybe find out later today, Tass, if he gets suspended or not. Might be tomorrow. They take their time with these sometimes. I always expect them to, like, by the time we're done recording, to have the answer. But they sometimes go very, very long with deciding mm-hmm. whether or not they're actually going to warrant down or hand out a suspension, I should say. So,
yeah,
you know, we'll find out, I guess, soon enough.
I guess they have other things to do, but yeah. How long does it take to make the decision? I don't know. Factoring in every previous suspension in the history of the National Basketball Association. It's a good question. What's the war room like? What kind of snacks do they have in there while they're talking about it?
All right, let's hear from everybody. I know a lot of people, at least in the stream team, sort of sounds like they don't think he should be suspended, mainly because it's all Morris's fault by triggering it and what he did and how he hit him. Fascinating. We'll see. If I'm a betting man, I think he gets one game. Jokic does. That's what I'll put my money on, at least happening. Another game last night. Keep it going here. Bulls pulled away on the fourth. What a fourth quarter from those Chicago Bulls. They win 118-95 to snap the Brooklyn Nets 5-game run there. So Trey, I can't believe when I started writing this down this morning that I was going to be asking this question and you're going to answer first. True or false here with these Bulls? Are they a legit Eastern Conference contender? What's going on with them?
All right, Skeets. In my heart, where I bleed and see red underneath this No Dunks Chicago Bulls t-shirt, the answer is true. But underneath my Carhartt Bulls hat, where I use my brain to carefully consider each team's strengths and weaknesses, then give a non-biased opinion, the answer is absolutely true.
Yeah, it is.
The Bulls are back, baby. Huge win last night over the Nets. Eerily similar to the Celtics game last week. The Nets were in control for three quarters of this game, basically. They took a two-point lead heading into the fourth. But the Bulls bench really flipped the script, brought tremendous energy, a lot of deflections to start the quarter. And then the team caught fire from three, went 5 of 6 from downtown in the fourth quarter. Io hit one, Caruso hit one, DeRozan hit another one, had him going crazy. Even Vucevic came through in
back.
The fourth quarter. I was high-fiving Kenzie. She's like, he really did it? He really made three shots in a row? Yeah, he did. This one turned into a blowout late, 42-17. For the Bulls in the fourth quarter. They win by 23, and honestly, it has been an encouraging week. They had the comeback blowouts, very weird to say, more than one comeback blowout, but yeah. It happened against the Celtics and the Nets. They played the Sixers close twice. Beating good teams never happened last season, and now at least the Bulls are competitive. They're top 10 on both sides of the ball right now, 6th on offense, 4th on defense. That is the definition of a contender. I'm not saying they're in the top tier of the Eastern Conference. That's likely still Milwaukee, Brooklyn. Philly's looking pretty good. The Heat have looked pretty good here. But if the matchups go the right way, if there's some luck in the Bulls' favor, it's not impossible they make a Hawks-like run to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, that's sort of a good way to frame it. Can they do what the Hawks did last year? Lee, any chance? Are they an Eastern Conference contender, the Bulls? True or false?
True, yeah. Let's say, why not? Right now they are, I think, a chance early in the season. My concern is, even though Vuce was great last night, the last two losses came against a team that did have a big in Joel Embiid, and they had a bit of trouble handling him. The Nets don't have that same guy. Obviously, they have their own guy who's pretty good, Kevin Durant. But this game actually, to me, mirrored Sunday's Raptors-Nets game. It was tied at half, or close at halftime. I think the Raptors led, and then the Nets just turned it on in the third quarter. Well, this time in the fourth quarter, it was the opposite. The Nets had done to them what they did to Toronto. They just couldn't get a stop. And everyone for Chicago was seemingly knocking in shots. Dosunmu, Ayo, oh my God, what a great guy, a fun guy to watch he is. And DeRozan again, hitting threes as well. This was a very, very impressive victory against the team that looked like they were in control. It looked like James Harden and Kevin Durant were, you know, steering the Nets home to victory here. But Chicago, I mean, I couldn't believe the final score. There was no way I could have believed it was going to be a blowout like that. So very, very impressive win. Yeah, they're a contender right now. Sure. Why not? Why not?
Oh, my goodness. Tess, you don't believe this, do you? The Bulls are not a legit Eastern Conference contender. I'm sorry. Trey, I get that he has to say they are. Lee, I don't know what the fuck's going on with him. Talk some sense to the people in here.
Well, if you're going to put them in the same fam as the Hawks and what they were last year, then, yeah, I think they can definitely be in that sort of realm of things. Great part of this game was that Vooch was playing like the big that they need him to play like. He was a bit intimidating on the defensive end when they needed him to be, you know, a bit. He had a block. He was around the rim. He's not intimidating enough. He works against the Brooklyn Nets. They're desperate for some bigs, and that's the worrisome part for sure. I don't think they're going to be steady enough. Like, they're going to go with and flow with the shooting of LaVine and DeRozan a lot of the times, and sometimes it's going to be great, and sometimes it's not. And it's a shocking number that they're still fourth on defense. I think that's going to come down. On the other side, watching this Nets team is it's abysmal. I guess because you expect them to be great, and they're. They're not. They feel like they're a lot worse than their 7-4 record.
Yeah.
They're one game out of the lead in the Eastern Conference, and you know they're going to get better. And that's why a lot of things are still wide open in this league. I think the MVP race is still wide open because a lot of teams have underperformed, the Nets, the Bucks, and so are the standings. And that's why the Bulls feel like they have more of a shot than they usually would, because right now at the top it's the Sixers who are going to probably come back to earth a little bit, and the Bucks and Nets have not played to that capability. So I know you don't want to buy it, Skeets, but contender's a strong word.
Yeah.
But it always comes down to, in the billion years that we've been doing this show, what does a contender mean? What does it mean? They're not a favorite in the Eastern Conference, but see, contending by definition means
if you're in the playoffs, you're technically a contender.
Can they rattle the cages of the Brooklyn Nets or the Milwaukee Bucks? They get into a series. Okay. Can they contend?
Okay. That I would agree quarters? With. They're good. Yeah. They're good. They're really solid. Every game I watch, more and more of the Bulls, you start to come around. Like, maybe this is not, fleeting, and that they are legit. Also, Stacey King gained a new fan last night. I had this one on for a good chunk of the night. And I was watching it in my room, and Nora was like going in and out. She's like, who is this guy? Why is he yelling, give him the hot sauce? And he also yelled out TBJ at one point. Shout out to the Basketball Jones.
Troy Brown Jr.
She was a fan. She's like, he's got a lot of energy. He's got a lot of lines. I was like, he has a line for everything.
Oh, he's got a lot of lines.
Oh, my goodness. Alex Caruso, he like leans into the turn up the AC, right? He's always talking about that now.
Wasn't just the hot sauce quarter. Last night. Like I said, 5-for-6 in the fourth quarter. And I think at one point he said, the hot sauce train is rolling. Cool. Also, my sister's favorite that you heard last night was they were getting ready for the Dunkin' Donuts race, and Stacey King starts every single one with, will it be Biggie Bagel, Dashing Donut, or Cuppy Coffee? Will it be Biggie Bagel?
Who won last night?
The bagel. I didn't check. Did the bagel win last night?
My issue with it is because I watched a Sunday Dunkin' Donuts race and a Monday Dunkin' Donuts race, and they were the exact same race in a different arena. They just recorded one. Same thing. I think the bagel got out to a hot start. Here comes cup of coffee. Coffee turns it on in lap two, and then Big Bagel wins and celebrates.
Well, my issue with that race, I tweeted this before, they don't stagger them. I mean, whoever's on the inside is running way less than the guy on the outside.
Oh, Dashing Donut is just messing around out there. Dashing Donut runs like half as long of a distance as Biggie Bagel does on the outside. But Dashing Donut doesn't win every race.
I know.
It's fixed, man.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, guys. I did think of a Ben Simmons trade, Lee.
Oh, nice.
For Harden.
Sure.
I mean, if the Nets... If the Nets could get Kyrie Irving a vaccination and get him back, I don't actually hate it, if I'm being honest.
Well, Daryl Morey.
And we know Morey wants it.
Yeah, he would do that, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm sure we lost some viewers there throwing that one out. No, I'm just kidding. Other games last night, if anybody wants to touch on any. Grizzlies rallied to beat the Wolves, eventually in overtime. 125-118. Insane ending to regulation. I mean... Ja Morant dunking in traffic, hitting a huge three. Karl Anthony Towns hitting a 35-foot, maybe more, bomb off the glass to send in overtime, but the Grizzlies got it done. The Wolves should have won this game. Oh, like they were in control. It's like such a brutal, brutal loss for them. Then we had Luka Doncic and the Mavericks overcoming a slow start. They beat the Pelicans, who their season is a wrap. It's done. Beat them 108-92. Suns held off the Kings 109-104. Got a little help with an overturned call late in that one. And then the Lakers barely survived another late collapse. They beat the Hornets in overtime by three. Any of those, Lee, that you wanted to touch on here?
Well, you sort of covered the points there from the Grizzlies and Timberwolves game. Ja Morant, that dunk in traffic to tie it up. It was just ridiculous how he was able to elevate and then levitate and then throw it down. It was great. But the Suns and Kings game, Now, the Suns won this game. They were up big. They were up 20 points and they were up in the sort of teens with about 5 minutes to go. And then the Kings, the defensive effort and energy and hustle they showed to get themselves back into this game was like, that's how you need to be from the start of the game. A team score still far too easily against Sacramento, but they locked in. I think Davion Mitchell, again, he's such a great defensive presence and pest. He's going to be great like that throughout his career. But the Kings nearly pulled this off, and then there was a late call that was overturned. Mm-hmm. Probably a little bit unlucky, I think. It's one of those bang-bang plays. Devin Booker kind of got positioned, but he was also dragging his foot. Anyway, Harrison Barnes made the basket, would have been going to line to bring them within 2 points, but unfortunately it was overturned for the Kings. So the Suns hang on to win this one. But the Kings, that it was a little bit too little too late, but you just like, they can actually apply themselves defensively and not get into these positions where they're down 20 and are scrambling just to get back into a game. So pretty fun sort of game there at the end. But yeah, I don't know if you guys saw that call or not. I thought it was probably a bit unlucky. Yeah, that call seems to sort of just depend on who the referees are each night. Seemed to me that Booker leaned a little bit forward and dragged his foot a little bit backwards. I wouldn't have overturned it myself, but they did. And
took
the,
forever, too, to take a look at it.
Yeah.
Holy crap, if it's taken that long, I don't know.
You shouldn't be able to overturn it at that point, I think. But anyway.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, good win ultimately from the Suns to hold off the Kings. Tass, any of these games that you wanted to mention?
Well, I know coming into the season, there was the graphic makers out there, the people on social media looking to add a fourth member to the big three in the Los Angeles Lakers, and they're adding Carmelo Anthony to it just because... Carmelo has done what he's done throughout his career, and people joked about that. Well, Melo has been part of the big three. I mean, he's played better than Westbrook. That guy has been phenomenal coming off the bench, and he saved them last night. They gave up a fourth quarter lead, and they won in overtime because Carmelo Anthony is scorching hot. He's scorching hot. He hit 7 of 10 threes, 9 of 13 from the field. And I know the three-point percentage of 52 is probably going to come down. Man, what more could they ask for? Come off the bench, run three-point line to three-point line, and bang him home. And he's doing that at a better rate than anybody. And they could have easily lost this game. And I think Melo saved the day. He's going to help them, if he keeps playing like this, get them to the postseason along with Russell Westbrook, where – the big two should be taken over in LeBron and Anthony Davis, hopefully for them. I thought Russell Westbrook was going to be the guy to you know, get the regular season minutes and be enough to keep LeBron and Anthony Davis fresh. And hopefully he will be that, but Melo's playing his part. He's part of the big four, baby.
Yeah. I mean, the Lakers are 6-5. They might be 3-8 if Melo wasn't on this team. I don't even think I'm exaggerating. He has helped. Last night, absolutely helped them win the game. The bench was great for the Lakers. Better than the starters outside of AD, really. And he's helped win them a couple other games, too, where he's just been on fire from distance. So it's a hell of an addition to this team, but ooh, they look rough. Though AD got all his pukes out, Trey, and had a pretty dominant performance there in a game that was way too close for Lakers fans liking. I know, going to overtime, but they got it done.
Almost a 5-by-5 as well, Skeets. 32-12, 4 assists, 3 steals, and 5 blocks. He's in the big 3 as well, so use Canva Pro, code no dunks if you're making your graphics.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I got nothing for you on this one. Okay. I've just been researching these Dunkin' Donuts races.
I think all I have from those last night games just at the end there is just like the Wolves and the Kings, man. Like these games that they should freaking win, and they just... they just don't. These wasted opportunities, like a bad quarter here. I mean, I'm so tired of seeing Luke Walton post-game comments after a Kings loss. It's like always the same. It's like copy and pasted every time. It's like, you know, I liked our fight, but we wasted that opportunity. And this quarter, it's like, yeah, this is the thing. Like, you got to get out of this funk. And they're 5-6 for the Kings. Okay, that's all right. But man, in order for those teams, Lee, to get into a play-in tournament, into the playoffs, they have to win these games. The Wolves absolutely should have won that game last night. They outplayed the Grizzlies for a good chunk of the game, and they just give it all away in the final 5 minutes. Obviously can't get it done in overtime, despite Cat getting them there. And then sort of the same with the Kings there, too. A little different than what happened with the Suns. They're playing a good team, but it's just like, you don't win these games, you're not getting into the playoffs. Done.
No, and if you're the Minnesota Timberwolves, you now play the Warriors, Lakers, and Clippers, all on the road before coming home to play the Phoenix Suns. So, it's tough. They also, the New Orleans Pelicans have one win this year. Guess who that came against? Minnesota. They just don't have that ruthlessness about them. They just can't close out a team. The Memphis Grizzlies, as much as I love watching Ja Morant, they're just not a good defensive team. This was both teams probably circled each other on the calendar last night and thought, yep, this is a win for us tonight. And the Grizzlies leading by double digits late couldn't close it out. And it was only that freakish bomb from Kat that even got them into overtime. You know, so they were sort of playing with fire anyway there. But it's just so hard to see what the upside here is for the Timberwolves. You know, some decent players. Anthony Edwards is good to watch. D'Angelo came back. He was good for them last night. But if they can't beat a Grizzlies team from that position, then it's really, really hard to see how Minnesota string any sort of consecutive wins together.
All right, let's take one more break, and then we'll get to a very fun tweet of the night and our pick 'em results. Let's get to tweet of the night.
Tweet of the night. Wow.
Twitter.
Lily, tweet of the night, man. What do you got?
Yes, and it comes from Twitter savant, would we say that, about Rex Chapman, who's really really added to his profile, has really blown up on Twitter in the last couple of years. And he tweeted this out yesterday, said, "Tell something about yourself that sounds like a lie but is actually true. The first NBA game I attended, I played in." Okay, wow. That's pretty amazing, isn't it, really? Like, you would think, like, a basketball protege growing up, he would have at least gone to a game. He's from Kentucky, though, so they didn't have an NBA team, so maybe that's part of the reason. But I thought, that's not a bad little exercise for us to go through here this morning, so I'll go first.
Okay.
The first one-on-one interview I ever did with a player, athlete, was with Derek Jeter of the New York Yankees.
Jeter.
Right to the big leagues. Huh? Sounds like Rex Chapman, right to the big leagues.
I was an intern at the Score, and I was down to watch the Blue Jays and Yankees, and it was like, just get post-game sound clips, you know, from the pitcher and from Vernon Wells or someone, whoever was batting.
You had never done it.
I had never done one-on-one stuff before. I'd been in scrums before, like doing this stuff, but it was the Yankees in town, and I was like, I've got to at least, you know, try something here. I went up to the Yankees PR man before the game, and I said, any chance I can get Derek Jeter one-on-one? You know, I work at the Score here. He's like, ugh. You can ask him yourself if you want when he comes to the dugout for batting practice. And I was like,
I don't want to do my job. You ask him.
I was like, you know what? All right, I will.
on!
And so the Yankees came out, and they all went into the dugout, and I was like, oh my God, there he is. There's Derek Jeter. Oh my God, what am I going to do here? And I thought, well, go for it. So I went down into the dugout, took the steps down, and I felt like I was about an inch tall, surrounded by, you know, all these athletes. I mean, Derek Jeter's probably not, he's probably 6'2 or 6'3. He's probably, you know, he's not super big, but I put my hand out, and his hand, it felt like it just, like, devoured my arm.
Maybe he had his glove on.
No, he had his glove off. Okay. Anyway, he was not thrilled that I approached him, and I said, excuse me, my name is Lee. I work for the Score. I was an intern. I was just wondering if I could have a few minutes of your time for a little one-on-one. And he looked up at me, and he said, just give me a few minutes then. And I thought, that's a classic blow-off.
Yeah.
I went out there, and I waited, you know, stalked him a little bit, just stood there, you know, ready, like, I'm right here, so you can't walk past me. He came out. We had a great one-on-one. It was incredible. So, not a bad start. I think that's like hitting a grand slam with your first at-bat, if you ask me.
First pitch.
Grand slam with your first at-bat.
Did you have a camera crew with you?
I did, because I had the, because they, again, they wanted me to just do the post-game scrums. So there was a camera there, and I just said to the guy, I said, news director, I said, do you mind if I just go down and see if I can get something else to make a story? Made a story about Joe Girardi. Got Joe Girardi one-on-one, got Jorge Posada one-on-one.
Okay, good hit.
All in the same day?
No, because you know how they play. They play like 3 days in a row. Yeah. So I got Jeter. I walked back to the office and said, I got Derek Jeter one-on-one. They're like, how'd you do that? I was like, I just asked for it. Usually you got to put in the request like 3 days in advance, and, you know, there's a little bit of back and forth. And I just said, I just asked him. And they let me have Derek Jeter. And so I made a whole feature, ran on the Score and everything of Joe Girardi there. He was talking to, Joe Girardi was talking to me about some player I'd never heard of, but I was just doing the casual. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Gotcha. Gotcha.
All right, good one. Tough one to follow up, Trey. What is, as Rex Chapman asked in his tweet, Twitter savant Rex Chapman asked, tell something about yourself that sounds like a lie but is actually true. What do you have, Trey?
My dad invented the double-decker taco.
That's a really good one.
It's true.
He says it's true. 1995, these double-decker tacos started coming out at Taco Bell. Part of a promo between, I think it was for Shaq and Hakeem, probably, to go against each other or whatever that was.
Yep.
And once that came on, my dad was like, I've been doing that for years. I'm like, come on, man. It's not that big of an invention to put a hard shell taco inside of a soft shell taco. But like, he just loves to have a clean plate. I'll always remember my dad bragging about how clean his plate was after we would eat tacos. I mean, they're a little sloppy, so he had to come up with something, a real game changer in the taco field. I'm going to put this taco inside a taco. Unfortunately, Taco Bell, you know, stole the patent from him.
Yeah.
So, you know, bummer. Bummer for my dad inventing that double-decker taco.
That's a good one.
Brilliant. It's brilliant. If you know, hard shell taco plus like a clean plate does not equal just a hard shell taco. You need to add something else to the equation. Add the soft taco. Boom, you got a clean plate. That's the problem with the hard shell taco. It goes everywhere.
Might crack.
Yeah. I mean, dads think up of a lot. They think up a lot of things, you know. We've talked about my Armenian father-in-law thinking up the outdoor slipper. That's been stolen. People are mass-producing those now. Oh, yeah. Cut the back off an old shoe, and now it's an outdoor slipper. But, yep, they're geniuses for a reason. Tass, what are you at?
Yeah, well, let me answer this one, Skeets. Are you going to answer this one?
I do. It's something I've said before, so I'll go really quickly. Let me slip mine in.
Okay, yeah.
Because I've said this before on the show. But I think it's a good one that sounds maybe like a lie, but I once walked under a moving train.
Wow.
No, it was going really, really slow, but it sounds crazy when you don't say the speed of the train. And I'm not proud of it. I made that clear too. Don't do this. Don't recommend it. I don't care how slow it's going. But it was like a classic, like, go into high school with the same group of people every day because where we lived, the high school's over here, there was a train track. Obviously, a train would go through every once in a while. It's like, God, this is taking forever. So I was like, I'm just walking under it. I'm just like scurried underneath
it. How high
it.
Is it?
Yeah, that's
I mean, you got to get pretty low. I mean, it's higher than you think. The trains are huge. But you got to obviously duck down and just scurry across.
Like a hunchback walk.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, that makes more sense to me. I'm like, man, that'd be a very tall train.
Yeah,
the wheels
but
would be massive.
Really, really stupid. Again, don't
That sounds super dangerous.
Yeah, I'm talking, it's moving like at a crawl, right? Like as it's going through the city, but I don't know. I wasn't the only one. I mean, some people are going over it, some people are going under it, and everybody starts doing it. Stupid. Tassel,
probably,
anyway, I'm sure.
Probably dropping off some manure in the town of Stratford. A lot of manure in Stratford.
Yeah, I wish it smelled like ash.
Ash from Sing, great movie. I thought the track would be elevated when you were saying that, like you just walked under it like a train track that was elevated. I can't imagine.
What do you mean a train track that was elevated?
Like a subway track that's not on the ground.
I'm talking about like a train that goes through a city. Like
I feel like it's only like a foot and a half.
Nah,
2 feet. You're not that small, my man. Come on.
I mean, I think it's 2 feet.
Maybe it was more like a horse walk than a hunchback walk. Like,
well, I'm telling you, I'm like, I'm not walking under it. Like, I'm like doing the limbo under it. I'm literally like crouched down. I probably threw my bag over the train or between the cars. I'm sure I did that. And then, shuffled under. Just a shuffle under.
Yeah, I can't do that if you have a lot of homework the night before. Got a full pack on your back.
Bag gets caught. Mm. It's ridiculous. What do you got, Tass?
I'll wrap it up. So something that sounds like a lie but is actually true. I've been wearing my underwear here while podcasting for the entirety of the season. No pants mellus. Yeah, you guys know I like to take my my time right to the mass. I like to push it. Yeah. And so I just get in the shower after a workout, and I have to fly here to my computer to start podcasting. So, yeah, the common thing about a blogger podcast, hey, he works in his underwear. It's true.
You do.
This year it's happening so far. And, it feels pretty good.
It's not getting cold in the room you're at?
It is.
Starting to get chillier down here, yeah.
Mm, makes me feel alive with you guys while podcasting.
Okay.
Maybe long johns for the winter? Nice pair of long johns.
He's going to be 10 minutes late if he's got to put on long johns every day.
It
takes a while to put on a pair of long johns sometimes.
Hey, we got one here from the stream team. Sarah Gray here. She once rode a bus that had my face on it.
Wow.
Prove her face or your face?
Her face.
Okay. Interesting. I guess she was in an ad of some sort.
Mm.
Cool.
Tell us more, Sarah.
Yeah, exactly. While we wait for her to tell us more, pick 'em results last night. Hornets, Lakers. LA favored by 2.5. They covered. Somehow, some way, 1-3 in overtime. So that's a win for myself and a win for Lili, who improves to 5-1. Tass takes the L, so does Trey. Tass is 4-2. I'm 3-3. Trey's 2-4. Tonight's pick 'em game brought to you by BetMGM. Where are we going, Tass? It's a small schedule. Is there only 3 games on tonight? We got TNT doubleheader and one more. Is that right?
Yeah, just 3 games. The Milwaukee Bucks, fresh off their visit to the White House, are going to Philadelphia. So just a little jaunt from the White House over to Philly, where they're 6.5-point favorites. And I thought, being the Philadelphia 76ers playing the Knicks pretty tough yesterday, they're playing everybody pretty tough, that one of us would take the Sixers. But we've got our first 4-way of the season. We're all taking the Milwaukee Bucks.
Wow.
Because everybody's pretty confident. I guess the Bucks are feeling good, showing off the rings with Biden at the White House, that they're going to come in and take care of business in Philadelphia. But Philadelphia has been playing everybody well. So this is one of those where we're all taking the Bucks. Lee, of course, with the deer emoji.
Mm.
This could be one that comes and bites us in the ass where Philly plays it close, because Milwaukee has not been playing all that well.
Yeah, this one was... I nearly swerved. I just do think the Bucks are going to win it. Yeah. Like, the Sixers at some point, without all these guys playing, have to be due for a stinker, don't they, Lee? I mean, I guess that's what we're thinking here, that maybe they just get outclassed here. Not that Milwaukee's played all that well either, so...
Yeah, that's a thing. It's like the Bucks are due, the Sixers are on a back-to-back, Embiid's not there, no Danny Green, no Tobias. Just feels like Milwaukee's going to stretch them out tonight. So, yeah, maybe Philly can do it. I don't think so, though.
Okay. Do you have the rest of Sarah's story, Lee? You don't need to put it up on the screen, but did you want to share it?
She was in an ad. I was in university my last year there. Bus was roaming around Norman, Oklahoma. So that's where it happened. And she was, I helped a friend out who needed people for an ad for career services. And one day I got to ride the bus my face was on. So she must have a photo of that. So blast it, Sarah. Blast it on the grams.
Yeah, hopefully you got a photo of that for sure. I mean, even Tass and I were on a van once when we worked at NBA TV. Remember our crossfire was on the back of a van?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that, Tass? Yeah, we took a photo with that. Hopefully you got one, Sarah. Okay, we'll call it there, guys. Thank you so much to the stream team for joining us live. Did some big numbers today. Everybody wanted to hear what we thought about the Jokic hit. Steph going for 50 and the Jaylen Brown for Ben Simmons trade rumors. Thanks for chiming in throughout the stream team. Keep your comments coming below the video in the YouTube comment section. Tweet at us at No Dunks Inc. Bucks Sixers tonight, Hawks Jazz, Blazers Clippers. We'll be back tomorrow to break them all down. If you have a question for Beach Steppin', get them in now. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. You know, only three games on. Very likely we'll hit the beach tomorrow to answer some of your cues. So send those in, NoDunks@TheAthletic.com, or hit us up on Twitter at NoDunksInc. Finally, grab yourself an Athletic subscription. Go to TheAthletic.com/NoDunks so they know that we sent you. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, usually a stupid line from me, but a question for you guys. Trey brought up the near 5x5 from Anthony Davis, and I just did a sporical quiz recently with these, so they're on the brain. Anthony Davis had one a few years ago, 2018, but who's the last guy to get a 5x5? It was 2019, and it's not a guy that
it's,
you would
it's
think
not
of.
Draymond? No.
No.
That was my first guess.
He did
it's
once
someone,
upon a time.
It's someone crazy.
It's a weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. You wouldn't think he's a big man.
He's a large man. It's gotta be Brook Lopez.
No, good guess. Good guess. The line was 24 points. Yeah. Would you say Lee?
Oh, an all-star caliber guy, is
no.
he?
No. 24 points, 23 rebounds,
Nurkic.
7 assists, 5 blocks, and 5 steals for Yusuf Nurkic
hey,
in 2019.
That's a big man.
Yeah.
Huge big man.
All right, guys. Embrace the day, people. You could stay. Be happy every minute.